Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Over the past several weeks, our congregation has been focusing on some hard sayings of Jesus. Most of them are hard because they ask us to be or do something that doesn't come at all naturally. Can I remind you of some of our weekend themes? The last will be first, and the first will be last. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Carry your cross. The found are lost, and the lost are found. You can't serve both God and money. Pursue compassion, not personal comfort. In other words, Jesus is teaching his followers to think very little of themselves, to take the last place in line, to bear many hardships in their life, to view themselves as people in need of rescue, to give up their passion for money and a comfortable life, and exchange it for a life of serving others. Can you imagine a want ad in the paper saying, "Wanted, people who think nothing of themselves are ready for a life of hardship, do not want a lot of money as they serve long hours for others"? I'm pretty sure ZipRecruiter wouldn't even bother looking for candidates. Yet, this is the life you received through your baptism into the kingdom of God. All this self-sacrifice comes with the Jesus package, the package of salvation from sin and the gift of eternal life. Jesus wants you to know this. And there's something about this challenge that is actually very appealing to God's children. But what if this life seems too hard? What if God's children feel overwhelmed by this calling? Where can we find strength for the hard tasks ahead? It's a very real, very important question. Once again, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples about the duties they face as they follow him. We should be getting used to this focus of his by now. He loves people. To love and follow Jesus is to love and serve people, especially those who are spiritually weak and frail. Recall how Jesus begins our text for today in Luke chapter 17. Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. In a world ruled by Satan and populated with many of his followers, there will be many spiritual traps. Things that cause people to stumble, as he says, are really death traps to people's souls, leading them to sin against God himself and lose their faith in him. Yes, we're going to find these temptations everywhere, but may you never be the one responsible for setting them, he says. Woe to the one who traps others. God's children never want to be the source of someone's spiritual death, yet how easily they can unwittingly set the trap for the death of another person's soul. Maybe it's by minimizing the deadliness of their sin. God doesn't really care so much about that, we might say. Much like when the devil told Eve, "You won't surely die if you eat from that forbidden fruit." Maybe it's by discouraging someone from being pious, or going to church, or studying God's word. Don't be such a zealot. He speaks especially about these little ones, maybe referring to children who are always extremely susceptible to adult influence. Or maybe he's talking about those who spiritually are little or young and weak in their faith. No wonder he says, "Watch yourselves. Take special care not to lay a trap for a spiritually weak human being, loved as they are by Jesus." That's one hard task. Here's another one. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, "I repent," you must forgive them. This sounds a lot like what our catechism calls the use of the keys, doesn't it? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. In a world where most people just hate gossip, and hate and gossip about those who do mean or thoughtless things against them, or even retaliate, you, Jesus says, talk to them honestly. Show them their sins. If they say they're sorry, go to the next step. Tell them not, don't worry about it, or it's okay, but I forgive you. And get this, even if they go away and do the same thing over and over again, but each time say, I'm sorry, keep on assuring them of forgiveness. In that way, you look most like Jesus. Jesus, you can't be serious about this. That's not how life works. Maybe you give someone a second chance when they mess up, but seven chances? Or 77 chances, as he says in another place? This is not reality. I can't do this thing you ask. Just like when you ask me to humble myself or carry your cross of hardship or give up the hold on me that money or alcohol or drugs or lust has on me or whatever you are asking me to do in your holy will. This is too much, too hard. That seems to be the way his first apostles reacted too. The very next words out of their mouth are, increase our faith, as if to say, the way things are right now, we can't do this thing you ask. You've got to change us, make us better. Now, on the surface, this is a wonderful prayer. Who of us wouldn't benefit from trusting in Christ more? Who of us wouldn't feel more capable of honoring God and doing His will, fighting sin and temptation, and helping people if we just trusted Him more? Lord, increase our faith is something we should pray every day, even as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Your kingdom come to me. Our life is full of the hard duties of fighting what comes naturally and following the will of our holy God. You may be aware that in our catechism is included a little section called the Table of Duties. It shows you God's call to pastors and congregations, to government and citizens, to husbands and wives, to parents and children, to employers and employees, to teenagers and old people, and tells everyone, love your neighbor as yourself. Let each his lesson learn with care, he says, and all the household well shall fare. We, each one of us, has multiple duties God calls us to perform during our life on earth, and they aren't easy. Sometimes we feel we just can't do them. I ask you, what duties are you facing right now? Duties to people around you that you are saying, I can't do this, Lord. I don't have the strength. You need to make my faith stronger. It's fascinating how Jesus responds to his disciples. Not, what a good thing you ask, my disciples. But instead, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. It's as if he's saying, look, brothers, you've got all the power you need by faith to do all this and more. Now, Jesus isn't interested in seeing acres of trees growing in the ocean. It was just a handy illustration to teach them, don't underestimate the power that the Lord has already planted in you to do His will by faith in me, even if your faith is very small. The strength to obey is not in you, it's in me. Think of how Jesus would encourage his disciples. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. St. Peter would echo the same promise in his first epistle when he wrote, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So you see, the prayer to increase our faith can actually be an excuse not to do the hard things God asks of you right now. There is nothing God asks you to do now that He doesn't equip you to do right now. whether it's letting go of anger against someone who hurt you, or loving someone enough to tell them the truth about their sin, or dedicating yourself in love to someone who doesn't appreciate you, or taking on a hard calling in life that demands extra energy and focus, whatever it is, in Jesus, God promises you strength to do it. He asks you to rise to the challenge. To illustrate, Jesus gives the example of a master and his servants, a picture everyone in Jesus' day would understand, a little like a boss and his employees. Would a master say to his servants, "Oh, you poor people, come inside, sit at my table. Here, let me serve you supper." No way. Instead, he says, "You got a job to do. Serve me my dinner. Get the job done, and then you can relax and sit down and eat." The servants know this. And Jesus says, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Unworthy servants? Yes. We don't deserve the high calling we have received to be part of the kingdom of God's mercy and grace. We deserve to be cast out of his house forever. But instead, our dear Lord had compassion on us. He took spiritual foreigners and welcomed them into his household of salvation, redeeming them from their sins and everything objectionable about them. So serving him is not so much a drudgery but a delight. Our greatest joy in life is now being his servants and seeking his will. A believer's delight is in their duty to their Lord and Savior. This list of hard words of Jesus is not the end of it. Every day, Jesus challenges us with more opportunities to fight the battle within us and around us, and to serve him with all the sweat and strain and tears that life in this sinful world demands. The day will surely come when the battle is over, and we will hear the shout of victory of the saints in glory. But while we are here, let's cling to Jesus' hard call to follow him and do his will. And as we do so, let's remember the precious promise that has been sung. God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Amen.